If you're unfamiliar with the Gospels and their chronology, you're amazed at how the four brothers would drop everything and follow Jesus. But that's not in accord with the chronology. They had already been with Christ at the wedding feast of Cana. They had already seen other miracles of our Lord. Our Lord had invited them to be part of what he was beginning, but he did not call them to the total reality of the vocation until a little later, kind of a mini novitiate, as it were. And so what's important to understand then is we may think that it'd be easy just to drop everything and follow Christ, but these apostles were prepared. Our Lord had given them some instruction, and Nathanael was already part of it as well. But this is the codified calling of them, which is why we see them as described by Mark, who of course got his gospel from St. Peter. We see them described as leaving their nets, or in the case of James and John, leaving their father and following Christ. But concentrate for our purposes today on the reality of that gradual call. All of us received the first calling to follow Christ when we were baptized. At our confirmations, we took it upon ourselves, if we were properly instructed, too many weren't, to be soldiers of Christ, to combat evil within ourselves and when we see it in the world. To be soldiers for Christ, that's the whole point of the chrismation. The Roman soldiers would put oil on themselves before they would go into battle. And that was the mind of the church up until modern times, which made it a little bit less interesting. Actually, a lot less interesting. And so there comes a point when you are called to your total vocation, where our Lord calls you to live for him in the context of the life he invites you to. And there are only two vocations in the church, despite what other people would say or think. And that is, of course, priesthood and religious life. Religious life is a subset of priesthood, especially for religious women, and the sacrament of holy matrimony. It is at this point, and if you were properly instructed in marriage preparation, you knew that. It was at that point that you were not getting married because, oh, you love the person and they made you laugh and made you feel so good about yourself. You knew that Christ was inviting you, that Christ was calling you. And therefore, when Christ called you, you knew he would not call you to anything that you would be a failure in accomplishing. You would accomplish it by his grace. And so, the vocation that you're in is the means by which you devote yourself to Christ. And yours, of course, is different than mine. Again, this is why St. Paul writes that those of you who are married have to worry about your spouse. And that's the way it's supposed to be, because your spouse is the means by which you find holiness. The way you die to yourself for the spouse, the way the spouse dies to self for you, and the way children are a result of that self-communication and the great holy thing that is the marital embrace. The two become one flesh, and the children are a reflection of that reality in a biological sense. And so this great vocation, which again too many Catholics abuse and misuse, making it a subset for the world, making worldly concerns more important than spiritual, this vocation, the source of all vocations, it really is the means by which you find holiness, but only if you are living for Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. Now consider this reality, that even in the spiritual life, there is a gradual progression of things. And so those of you who are married, or those of you who are about to embark on marriage, you see, if you are spiritually in tune, you see the realities, the moments of grace that God has given you, which are just like what he does here with these four brothers that become apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He called them initially, but then he calls them to more, and he interrupts their life and requires change in order for them to follow him more fully. There will be times in your life when God calls you to changes you're not necessarily expecting, or changes that you could see coming. And He calls you to those for a reason, to give you development in your spiritual life, and yes, in some ways, to detach you from the world, especially if the change requires a new disposition to the world, a new job, a new house, things that are done out of necessity and not out of luxury, of course. And the opportunity then, you will see, if you are spiritually in tune, you will see how it invites you to a greater relationship with Him, and in the context of your vocation, a greater relationship to your own family. But of course, you have to take the risk, don't you? You have to be willing to put down the net. You have to be willing to leave your father, as it were, as James and John did, and follow Christ. That's why marriage requires some degree of separation from the world, even though it functions in the world, because it is making Christ known to the world in the most natural way that most everyone is familiar with, save modern times, where marriage has been redefined and polluted. But even then, most recognize there's something about marriage that is unique, which is why it's so hated and attacked by the devil, and so envied by those who try to pervert it. There's something about this natural order of God. In the spiritual life, those of you who've gone to some of the classes I've taught in the 10 years I've been here, you know how the spiritual life works, that God gives you consolations, and then the consolations will last for some time, but it's usually short, and then it will be followed by desolation. It's where God leads you to one small oasis and then lets you have the rest there, but then requires you to leave that oasis and make the journey to a larger one. In other words, moments of grace, consolation that are given to you to make you grow closer to Him, to move you towards Him, and yes, away from worldliness. Ironically, the things that modern Catholics look for the most is exactly what they're not supposed to be looking for. The status quo, a sense of total security, total control of everything. That is, in the end, of Satan. And that's why so many Catholics live lives that are filled with anxiety and fear, because they're so attached to things in the world that they would never have the courage to stand up for Christ when the persecution comes. They'll never have the courage because they'll be too afraid of losing house or money or job or influence, comfort and convenience. Our Lord deliberately tries to, because of our own free will we can resist, but tries to move us away from the status quo. But the great spiritual masters, the fathers of the church that inherited the church and their teaching from the apostles themselves, and those spiritual masters who know the faith all the way down to modern times, all acknowledge that same reality, the terrifying reality, that if you so choose to embrace the status quo, God will abandon you to it. And you may think that's okay, that's all right. I mean, I can still get to heaven. No, you won't. Because the only reason you would stay where you want to stay, the only reason you would stay where it's comfortable in your spiritual life, which is going to be reflected in your temporal life, is that you don't want to move. You're so comfortable that you've paralyzed yourself. And therefore, you'll never grow closer to God as God requires. And you'll never be detached from the world, so you will not be a martyr in the sense of being a witness. And you certainly wouldn't be a martyr in the sense of dying for Christ, because you'd be too afraid. And you won't have the grace, because God resists the proud. The spiritual masters teach us a terrifying thing when God abandons you to the status quo. And if you think about it, you can see symptoms of it. If you live a life of fear and anxiety, if there's not much when it comes to prayer and spiritual discernment, discerning the things of the world, discerning God's will and how you can please God in all things, when these things aren't going on and the status quo is embraced, your life becomes more mundane than it ought to be. And in that mundane dynamic, there's always a restlessness. Not the restlessness that comes from a true desire to move closer to God, which is really energy and zeal, but a restlessness that indicates that life has no meaning, it has no point, you're bored to death. And that's usually when you'll embrace some particular form of sinful entertainment to divert yourself. This is why the devil is so clever in getting Catholics, especially those of you who are married, to embrace the status quo. Because ultimately, when you do that, you end up being self-serving. And you are simply two people or more living in a house together with no real common life. He has his job, she has her job, the kids have this school, the kids have this athletic event. Nobody's living together because the enemy hates true unity because it is based on the Holy Trinity. And every single family, Catholic family, is supposed to be reflecting Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the perfect community, the perfect balance, the perfect ordered relationship where each one is totally invested in the other. So many Catholic families don't live this way, but live disparate lives, people that hardly see each other, except on occasion. Because they've chosen the status quo. They've chosen to live for the world. And every time God has given them a moment of grace to make a change, to move forward and progress, something that does indeed, yes, require risk, they weren't willing to do it because they didn't trust Him. They didn't believe Him. They didn't know Him. Peter and Andrew, James and John knew the Christ before they devoted themselves entirely to Him. And Christ gave to each and every one of us knowledge of Him, not only at baptism, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of confirmation, but most importantly, the most blessed sacrament, where He gives us His body, His blood, His soul, and His divinity. When He gives us His all, how could we not trust Him? How could we not be willing to risk everything for Him, knowing that He is all good, all wise, and all powerful? Look for moments of grace in your life and consider the reality when you come forward to kneel at the altar rail, the altar of the people where you say you're dying to yourself for Christ. Listen and see if He is calling you to something more. Especially those of you who are in marriage and it's become mundane, the adventure and the mystery is gone, it's because you have embraced the world and the status quo. Ask Him to tell you what to do next to move out of that sad, mediocre life and into the profound life that He wants you to live, a life of grace, a life of mercy, a life of true adventure in combating the reality of evil just by being a Catholic family. Not out there standing on soapboxes preaching, but living your life fully to the most possible extent and sharing the life of Jesus, a life that reflects Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's what He's inviting you to, and you'll be surprised if you let go of the status quo just how much you'll jettison, not simple material things, but even habitual sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.